This is OTB AM.
This Liverpool team are going to coast to a league title. Fair enough, that's a great achievement. But that Man United team were an all-time great because they weren't playing very well early in the season.
Does Everton have to happen in the same period of time, though? Did Liverpool not have those elements of that team?
They have to win the Champions League. They have to win the Champions League this year. But not if they're... To equal Manchester United's treble season, they have to win at least the Champions League in the league, right? And you could say that by not winning a cup, if they don't win a cup, then they're not... It's not as good a season. Man United are always going to be able to say, we won a treble. Did you win a treble? No.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7.30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Now, I'm delighted to say Andy Mitten is with us this morning. Andy, how are you doing? Oh, just having some trouble. Hey, Andy, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
A very interesting...
I'm fine, hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, all good, all good. A very interesting couple of weeks with regards to Manchester United. We had assumed that the Jadon Sancho stuff would happen, and then it didn't, and then... quite the opposite to Jadon Sancho and some of the other big names, almost unheralded and out of nowhere, a signing happens from Ajax of a very high profile and very talented young midfielder. Is there a change in how Manchester United are doing business? Are they going to try and announce signings that aren't generally in the public sphere before actually they become sagas? Is this a new way, perhaps, that they're going to start trying to treat things in the future?
I don't think so. The club have got a real problem in the noise around transfers in that they can't control it and they're forever being linked with players where there's absolutely no truth in it. And agents link their players to Manchester United. It does their players no harm. It does the agents no harm. But in most cases, there's absolutely nothing in it. You mentioned Jadon Sancho. He was and is Manchester United's number one transfer target for this summer. Getting him is going to be difficult. Borussia Dortmund have named their price. That price would be a record for Manchester United at a time when there's a lot of instability around the club. A nervousness going forward about how the season's going to pan out in this COVID world, how revenues from broadcasters, from sponsors, from matchday revenues are going to be hit. With Van der Beek, United have watched him for a while, but it was only in the last week that negotiations came on really strong. They were concluded, I'm told that they've absolutely been concluded and that the official announcement is imminent, pretty efficiently. And it would be nice if all transfers could be done this way. He's a very good player. He's not a Sancho-class player. You know, that's the feeling within the club, that they're signing someone who is the right age profile, he's come through a very good academy, he's got Champions League experience. You know, I saw him play. The only time I've seen him play live was against Real Madrid in the Bernabeu. That's probably the best game of football I saw last year. And he's young. United feel that he can get goals from midfield. And the signing's been welcomed. If it's the only signing of this summer, then that won't be seen as being good enough for Manchester United. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said in March that he was still two or three players short of a team capable of challenging for the title. So fans want to see those two or three players. From the club's perspective, very difficult to bring in top players at the moment. And fans will point to Chelsea. They're owned by a Russian oligarch. Their circumstances financially are completely different. Manchester City's financial circumstances are very different as well, especially in they've seen as being vindicated and successful after their scrape with financial fair play. A few months ago, it looked like they were not going to be able to play Champions League football, which is worth about £75 million to a club. Now they are. So there's Chelsea and City, and then there's the rest, including Manchester United. There are plans B, plan C, plan D, but it's difficult to get players, and that's not going to wash with fans. Fans want to see more players come in, and with good reason, because the team were 30-odd points behind Liverpool. They did reach three semi-finals, but didn't go beyond that. And had United won a trophy, I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer could have said this was a successful season. But United didn't. United finished third, hit the top four in the final week of the season. So that was absolutely encouraging, because in polls done among United fans at the start of the season, very, very few. I'm talking 12, 15% thought United would be finishing in the top three. So that's a relative success. But we're talking about Manchester United here. It's one of the three biggest clubs in the world. They're expected to win titles, not just compete for them.
I think as well, the other thing that we have to remember in all of this is that there was a period of mismanagement where the Alexis Sanchez deal skewed all of the other wage deals that come after that. So players who aren't really worth 120 grand a week or 80 grand a week are suddenly earning that amount of money. And a stop, it seems, under Solskjaer has been put to those types of deals. And you can begin to wrestle things back. But it's not an overnight thing. Even Jurgen Klopp took a period of time to get Liverpool playing the style that he wanted. He had to sell Philippe Coutinho to get the money in to get Alisson and the centre back that completely changed how he was able to do it. So it almost feels to me like this is the beginning proper of the Solskjaer era, where he has some players he can build a team around, and he's not being held to ransom by any individual superstars. He's not wasting $500,000 a week on one or two players who are never going to play football for him. So I don't know, it feels like there should be some sense of, okay, he's bought time, he should be given this transfer window, the next transfer window, and the one next summer, and then you can start saying this is a team that should be capable of properly challenging for the title.
I agree with every single word of that. Klopp did take time, Guardiola took time, but Guardiola was probably buying players for City before he took the job. He knew he was going there. He was very close with the sporting director. And United were scarred, definitely, by poor recruitment and buying players like Alexis Sanchez, who was welcomed by all fans, by the way. But he earned that much money that other players used him as a benchmark. And that created a poor atmosphere in the dressing room, where players were going to renegotiate their contracts and saying, well, if he earns this and I play three times as many games as him, then surely I should be earning that. So the situation, it got out of hand. The big name signings didn't really work. They created this instant rush on social media when Schweinsteiger or Falcao or Di Maria signed. And, you know, Di Maria is a fantastic player. So there's a side question there of why was he so successful in Argentina, for Real Madrid, for PSG, but not for Manchester United? And that's another reason why the club has been so unstable. They've changed the managers too often. But recruitment has been poor. I think it's improved under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's meticulous. He does detailed background checks into the types of personalities of the players he wants. But he needs those players to come in as well. So United do the homework properly. I think we're seeing evidence of that. There has been a bit of stardust with Bruno Fernandes. He was a game changer. He really lifted Manchester United's season. But it really needed lifting, because it was atrocious up to that point. So I do trust Solskjaer. I do think that he should be given more time. Patience is not always there. And it frustrates him greatly when you see online this absolute rage. And all the super clubs get it. Barcelona get it. When Manchester United fail to destroy basically every team that they play. And there's almost different demographics within the fan base, where some are just going to be impossible to please. They're obsessed by transfers. They're never going to be happy with transfers. They're always going to want more players. And I think the club got taken in a little bit by that when they were signing players who were probably ill thought out and were not a success. And that was to United's detriment. I do think it's on a more stable footing now. There's a good youth system there. There's a manager who will give youth a chance. They're not going to get all the players who they want. They missed out on Jude Bellingham. But I don't think United are going to win the league next year either. But I do think it's nudging in the right direction.
Andy, when it comes to how De Beyk is going to fit in, we're kind of having a bit of a chat about this yesterday. He's not going to be the kind of holding player in midfield. He likes to be more box to box and possibly even getting into the box. You've got Pogba and Fernandes who seem nailed on starters too. Where do you think he's going to fit into that midfield? Will there still be a need for a Matic or a Fred in that midfield with the other three?
And it's the question I first asked when I saw that United were going to sign him. I don't think there's any harm having more strength in depth to that squad. It was exposed badly at times last season, and it's going to be even tougher next season. The way that the fixtures are condensed is going to be tougher. United are now in the Champions League. So rather than going away to LASK in Austria, United could be going away to Sevilla or to Barcelona and then playing Chelsea at the weekend. The squad needs to be stronger. And when that squad played in a slightly weakened version against Chelsea or Norwich in the FA Cup, it was apparent that it's nowhere near strong enough. So there's two things here. One, signing to strengthen the overall squad, but two, signing to improve your best starting 11. I think United's best starting 11 is a decent one. And it's a team that has beaten Manchester City three times last season. They can go toe-to-toe with anybody. But towards the end of the season, the team looked jaded, as they had done the season before. So that leads to thinking that there's not enough quality in the squad. United have got a few problems. They've got to get rid of players because the squad's too big. Too many of them earn too much money but don't play. And are content to sit there because they're earning an absolute fortune off the second highest wage bill in world football. And then you have the recruitment where Solskjaer has managed to get rid of the players who he didn't want. Lukaku, they got money, good money for him, and did well to get rid of Alexis Sanchez. And that was a disaster, whichever way you look at that deal. But he needs to get rid of more. And United have got money to bring more players in, but there is so much uncertainty around the club, around the economics of football. I cannot see United spending 120 million euros on Jadon Sancho. I think if that deal should be done, and I hope it is done because he's a top player, and I've done a lot of research into him and asked people who know far more than I do, then it would be structured. And I think you're getting to the stage now in the transfer window where players have got to push for the move themselves. They've got to go to the club and say, I want to leave. And the pressure's got to come from that. And not just with Sancho, because there are other players who want to join Manchester United. And United have got the money. They're not going to be paying those ridiculous wages which Sanchez received. But they've still got a big wage bill and they've got decent money. And there's still a bit of time in this transfer window. But there's not a lot of trust from fans into the negotiations because so many of the previous transfer windows have been pretty poor. They've been pretty underwhelming. And the ones which did cause the most excitement, when your Schweinsteigers came in or your Di Marias came in or your Falcaos came in, they didn't prove to be successful. So once bitten, twice shy. I think with Solskjaer, he is identifying the right players, but some of those players have got to come in. They've got to strengthen the squad because, as we saw last season, it's not good enough. Paul Pogba staying, I can see that as being a plus. Dean Henderson, that's definitely a plus as well. Marcus Rashford getting better with age. Anthony Martial, Mason Greenwood, they all point in the right direction. You mentioned Matic and Fred. Okay, maybe one of them will go, but both of them ended up having good seasons, especially in the second half of the season. And neither of them would be on the top list of six players who I think United will be looking to get rid of. But if a 50 million bid comes in for one of them, more likely to be Fred than Matic, who's a bit older, then United probably would sell. I think Fred wouldn't get a 50 million bid because football's economics have changed. And I know that Solskjaer likes him. And after a bad first season, he's had a decent second season.
Andy, I watched your interview with interest with Ander Herrera after the Champions League final. He was incredibly honest in his assessment of what went wrong for PSG against Bayern Munich. But watching him in that Champions League semi-final and final, is there any feeling that United have let a player slip there? Because Herrera obviously walked out on a free transfer. He's had a good season for PSG. I'd imagine if United had kept him around, he would still be a very useful player at Old Trafford.
you can look at that two ways. As often in football, there's two or three versions of the truth. I don't think he did have a good season at PSG. I think he had a lot of injuries. He came good at the end, you're absolutely right, and became an important player. He started in a European Cup final. With Ander, I mean, I've known Ander since he was in Zaragoza, then he moved to Bilbao. So me asking him those questions, those very simple open-ended questions, that wasn't spur of the moment. That was built on a relationship that's gone back a long time. And me thinking, he's going to answer these well. And I kept them very simple and short because he's the star. He's the one with the great opinions. And that came across. That video went completely viral. And I also felt it was important to ask him about fans because I feel too many people are paying lip service to no fans being there. They're not really that bothered as long as the rest of football works. And a lot of fans who don't go to games, they're not really that bothered either. But I'm bothered, and Herrera was bothered. I think he asked for too much money, or his agent did. I'm not even sure if Ander knows how much his agent asked for to stay at United. And United's argument, and I buy this, was he's played half the number of games of Paul Pogba last season, and we'd like to keep him, but not at those wages which are index-linked to Alexis Sanchez's wages. And Herrera wanted a last big deal. He got it at PSG. It's been worked out to be a good move for him. He was a good player at Manchester United, but he wasn't the best player. And he was popular. He said the right things. You know, he sort of got fan culture. But part of me admires United for taking a firm stance and saying, we're not just going to be paying whatever people ask for us anymore for players who we think are dispensable. So it could have worked out better. And Ander's got his point of view. He felt that United didn't come soon enough with an offer. I think he's absolutely right there. I think that's one area the club should improve rather than holding back and thinking that players are automatically going to sign or re-sign for Manchester United. But he's become an important player for PSG and he remains a great interview. And he has been since that first time I sat down with him in Bilbao in 2012-13, and I noticed his screensaver on his phone was of the Gladys Street at Goodison.
Right.
And I thought, why have you got that? And he just said, just look at that picture. We don't see that in Spain. And he was enraptured by English football culture. And I think he was genuine in that. And he loved living in Manchester. He loved playing for United. But he was playing for a club at pretty unfortunate times. They changed the managers. Some fancied him more than others. He had some amazing games, but he had pretty bad injuries as well and times when he wasn't as effective.
And Andy, you've been on holidays. We would have talked to you before now about what was going on with Leo Messi in Barcelona. I know you obviously spend a lot of time around the club. While you were on holidays, did you allow yourself to dream, even for half an hour, about how Leo Messi might fit in?
What, at Manchester City?
Hey, Man United. Let's steal them now. All these years that they've been building this grand plan. Let's swoop in at the last moment.
I did work out that I've watched him over 200 times live, and I'd interviewed him several times. I can remember interviewing him as a 17-year-old, and I can remember him asking me about Manchester City 10 years ago and where they got the money from, and I'm thinking, why don't you just ask Carlos Tevez? Why are you asking me? So that was after an interview had finished. I still think he's the best player in the world. I watched him enough last season to come to that judgment. And he's probably got a few more years left in him. I think that if he leaves Barcelona, and I'm going to plug back into this story today because I really needed a bit of time with my family away from football. Messi's cried wolf before. I think he's happy with his family living in Castelldefels, overlooking the sea. He's got proper mates at Barcelona, but the club's in a mess. Part of him does want to try playing in a different league. And obviously his respect for Guardiola is strong. But I think they're going to ask for so much money. They're going to rule out almost every club, apart from City, PSG and Chelsea, this new Chelsea. With Abramovich's money behind them, I can't see them signing Messi. He's adamant that he wants to leave, but he's been adamant before that he wants to leave. He's the power without the throne at Barcelona. Every manager has built the team around him, and those who haven't have quickly regretted it. And Ernesto Valverde was quite intelligent. He just gave all the power to the players. The problem was when those players don't perform and those players are getting too old and too many of them are over 30 years old. The very good one, Ivan Rakitic, went back to Sevilla this week. You have a club which is a troubled club. They've got the highest wage bill in world football. They've wasted even more money than Manchester United on signings that have underwhelmed. Good players, Dembele, Coutinho, Griezmann. But when you're paying over 100 million for players, you expect them to be better than good. You expect them to be great, not to be losing games, conceding eight goals to Bayern Munich. So I'm going to dig into Messi over the next few days, and I'm going to write about it. I'd say it's 50-50 at the moment. His father arrived at Barcelona this morning, was surrounded by journalists and said, I don't know nothing. It's a long time from the days that Jorge Messi emailed me from his Hotmail account, inviting me to interview his son at Barcelona's training ground. I wish it could be that simple these days.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wonder, is the Hotmail address still active at all? One last question for you. The noise around Upamecano seems like there's some substance to it. That'd be a great signing, right? That's exactly the type of signing they should be making at like 40, 50 million now. And he's somebody who you could build around for the next 5-6 seasons.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I'm told it's unlikely this summer. The problem United have got is there are priorities in other positions and there are about 46 central defenders at the club. Now, if some of them are sold on and Chris Smalling probably has the most appeal to buyers there, then that situation may change. But I'm told that that is unlikely to be this summer. I wouldn't be surprised if there's only one more player coming. I think there's so much uncertainty around the economics of football. And there are assumptions that this season's going to play out normally. But what if there's another break because of COVID? What if there's another rebate going back to broadcasters? What if no fans are allowed back in? What if the general economy is so poor that sponsors start to pull back? And fans, they just don't want to hear that. They just want top players to sign. And I get that. But as a journalist, my job's to ask questions, and I spent 3 hours on the phone yesterday speaking to people who have the answers to these questions. And I'm writing a big cover story for 442 magazine on Manchester United, and I think we've seen a summer like no other. And it's not just at United. Look at the transfer movement of other clubs. So yeah, I agree, he's a top defender. I watched him in Lisbon, I was there, I would have interviewed him had they won, but they didn't, so I ended up speaking to the victors. And it's a long time since Manchester United have been victors. I think if they would have won the Europa League, it would have been big, big success for United last season. But no, they fell short. They ran out of steam. And they've got to prevent that happening next season.
Andy, welcome back from holidays. Really looking forward to that 442 cover story as well. Great to have you with us. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.